Our scripture reading this afternoon is taken from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 3. We continue our study together of Philippians and our study of Philippians chapter 3 in the Pew Bibles, page 1350, 1350. Philippians chapter 3, we'll read the verses 1 through 11. And it appears I left the text information from last Lord's Day on here. It states 4 through 9 as our text. We did that last Lord's Day. We'll be looking at 10 and 11 as our text this afternoon. Let's give our attention to the Holy Word of God. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. These are the words of our text at verses 10 and 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So far, our reading from the Holy Word of God. May the Lord bless us in our submitting ourselves to it and receiving it in faith. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been following the Apostle Paul here through Philippians, and particularly in the last little while through Philippians chapter 3. We've heard him say that he never gets tired of preaching the same old, the same old gospel, the old, old story. It's never tedious for me, he said, and for you it is safe. Our safety is found in being reminded again and again of the blessing that we may be saved by grace through faith because of Jesus Christ. And in the context of speaking of that reality, he warned against the dogs, you recall. He warned against the evil workers and the mutilation. What he was warning against was a form of works righteousness, a form of Judaizing, which would go back to the Old Testament and say, well, you have to be circumcised, and that becomes for you a meritorious work. And he called those people who would promote that sort of thinking, he called them the dogs of which to beware. And he called them the evil workers, as much good as they were seeking to do for their own credit, so to speak. And he called them the mutilation. And recall as well that when he spoke of the blessing of being the true circumcision, because we have enjoyed the circumcision of the heart, you could say. Paul says, we are the ones who worship God in the Spirit. We are the ones, as he says, who rejoice in Jesus Christ, we have no confidence in the flesh. And then for a time, he took his time to boast of the things of which he could have boasted, only to acknowledge at the end of the day it was all garbage. It was all rubbish. Literally, it was all dung. He counts it all loss. He recognizes that all of the things that he'd been piling up to his own credit were actually loss to him. They actually placed him in greater debt to the Lord. They could not accomplish his salvation. And so we spoke last time of the blessing of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessing that Paul said he counts everything loss for the excellence of knowing Christ, that he may be found in him, that he may gain Christ. And he spoke of a righteousness that is by faith, a gift of God, not a work of man. That's where we left off. And in the context of his introducing us to the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're going to take up with that thought. We're going to take up with what the Apostle Paul has been on about as he develops it further. This is what he wants to know because he knows who he is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his ongoing, earnest desire that I may, verse 10, that I may know him. He knows him. He's known by him. But he wants to know him better. He wants to know him more earnestly, with more conviction, with greater delight and joy, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And that's the word of God I preach this afternoon, that I may know Christ. Knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. I've listed 3 points on the bulletin. I may have a few more P's for you as it turns out, and we'll see how that goes in the time that we have. But we're going to begin with knowing his person, that I may know Christ, that I may know Christ. And you recognize the Apostle Paul is not speaking here of knowing some information about Jesus. As important as that is, boys and girls, you learn the Bible, you hide it in your heart, and you're taught in light of a catechism, as we were looking at that together this morning, in terms of the things that we ought to know to live and die in the joy of the comfort of belonging to Jesus. You want to know some things about God. You want to know the things that the Bible says about Jesus to be true. You want to know what the Bible says about who he is. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the Word made flesh. He is the one through whom all things were made. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through him. He is true God and true and truly righteous man. All of those things are absolutely necessary for our salvation. We're absolutely necessary for him to be able to lay down his life on the cross and take it up again as we commemorate that blessing, as we are confirmed in that hope around the table of the Lord this afternoon. We say these things about Jesus. We say we know these things about Jesus, as we will hear and also sing from the language of 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, I know whom I have believed. And it's not merely that I know some things about him, I know him. The language the Apostle Paul is using here is language that is used throughout Scripture. It's what is spoken of in Jeremiah 31, as the height of blessing in terms of what God has promised. This is the covenant I will make with you in those days. I will write my law on your hearts, and they will all know me, says the Lord, from the least of them to the greatest. So the language of to know is not just to know information. It's a language of fellowship. It's a language of intimacy. And Paul says he knows Christ. He has spoken already of the excellence, verse 8, of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He has spoken of the confidence he has, that he is counted righteous because of everything Jesus Christ has done. But now he wants to take it further, and he says, I want to know him more. The language that is spoken of here is language of progressive intimacy, to get to know Jesus better and better. and to walk in sweet communion with Him, to know Him as your friend and Savior, to know Him as the only Savior and the only way to the Father. So that's what he speaks of as his heart's desire, and that's an encouragement and a challenge for every one of us. Do you know Jesus? I'm asking more than, do you know some things about Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Can you say again with 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, I know whom I have believed. I am resting in what he has done and who he is. And can you say with the Apostle Paul that you know his person, you know him personally, you walk in sweet communion with him, and that your heart's desire is to grow in that fellowship? I want to know him better. Sometimes as Christians, we have to confess, don't we? We get cold, we get lazy, we get distant, and we live at some distance from God. But the encouragement here is that we see from the Apostle Paul the most excellent thing, the most important thing for us in the world is to be able to say, I know Christ. Over against all of the concerns we have in terms of the things that are going around us, going on around us, to be able to say with Paul, I want to know Christ. I want to know him better. I know him. He knows me. And I want to know him better. That is, in the first place, knowing his person. But what flows intimately, automatically from that is the next words off of Paul's lips. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now you just think of the power of the resurrection. We think of certain things that are declared to us in the Bible. The glory, the majesty, the power put forth when God spoke the world into existence by the word of his power. He spoke and there it was. The glorious power of God to create by the word of his power. And that same power is put forth in the resurrection. The Lord Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, put forth that power himself when he declared to Lazarus that he should come forth out of the grave in John chapter 11. Lazarus, come forth. And the one who was dead was made alive again. And the Lord Jesus had spoken just in the previous chapter, John chapter 10, of his own confidence. No one is going to take my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord and I will take it up again. Jesus declares he is the resurrection and the life. And Paul is saying now, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I would relate that to what we see in Ephesians chapter 1, just the previous epistle, and what the Apostle Paul speaks of what he wants us to know. That's what he's also desiring to know. But this is part of his prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. Just read the verses 17 and following. Ephesians 1 verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Same focus there, to know Christ. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. In terms of the blessing of personal experience, that you may know. What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age or that which is to come. What Paul is asking here for the church at Corinth is that we would know the exceeding greatness of the power of God toward us who believe. It's the same power. with which Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. If you and I have been given a new heart in the Lord Jesus, if our eyes have been enlightened and opened so that we receive this blessing and know the hope of our calling, that is no less power that has been put forth than the power that has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We have been raised from darkness to light, from death to life, to newness of life in Jesus Christ, the power of his resurrection. God has put it forth to give us life. And what Paul is after here is the desire that in knowing Christ, he would also be one who makes him known in terms of a life that represents him well. And so we face challenges and we face difficulties. We acknowledge our weakness and frailty. But don't ever forget, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We have the power of his resurrection. It's not a power that we may go about doing neat things and magic tricks for ourselves, but it is a strength that enables us to withstand sin in ways that we didn't think possible as we look to God and know Christ and walk in sweet communion with him. But he goes on. It's a statement that has a number of things attached to it. I want to know Christ. That's the heart of it. But what follows from knowing Christ is the power of his resurrection. But what follows from knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection is what Paul goes on to speak of in verse 10. And he says, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That's knowing his passion, number three, knowing his passion. We think of Christ's passion, we think of his willingness to suffer, to lay down his life. And now we say we share in his sufferings. And it's interesting, just note, it's significant, I believe, to us, the order in which this is treated. We speak of the power of his resurrection first, and then the fellowship of his sufferings second. For us, the order is opposite of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. The Lord Jesus Christ has laid down his life, and he's taken it up again. But because he's taken it up again, we who put our trust in him live in the joy of knowing him and knowing the power of his resurrection. And now, in that confidence, in that hope, in that sweet communion with him, we are enabled to, and we also long to, share in his suffering. So that's our desire. Our desire is to fellowship with him in his suffering and to be conformed to his death. So what the Apostle Paul is preparing us for here is the reality that Jesus has told us, in this world, you are going to suffer. In this world, there will be tribulation. It is appointed for us to suffer. Paul had spoken about that. Recall in Philippians 1, verse 29, it has been granted to you not only to believe, but also to suffer. And so he's saying here, now we have the blessing of being conformed to his death. We're being created after his pattern. There's another P word for you. After his pattern, conformed to his death. That the Christian life becomes cross-shaped. That we're not afraid to suffer. And we're not afraid to suffer. We're not afraid with regard to whatever it is that needs to take place in the midst of this world. And whatever it is we will find ourselves going through, because we enjoy the fellowship of his suffering. What does that mean? We are participating with him in his suffering, not to earn our salvation. He's done that. That is accomplished. We celebrate that again at the table of the Lord. Once and for all, his work is finished. But now, because we belong to him, because they hated our master, they're going to hate us too. But we partake together with him in suffering, So knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection, we might also say, is knowing his presence. He's with us. Even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we should fear no evil because he's with us. He'll not leave or forsake us. We enjoy sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus as we have to suffer, as we face opposition, as people mock us, perhaps, for being Christian and standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever way that's necessary. If you ever feel overwhelmed with the reality that it's not going to be easy, if you ever get overwhelmed with the struggles we're experiencing right now and the sense that we're up against something that is too much for us, don't ever forget the Lord Jesus is with you. This is the fellowship of his suffering. That's the word koinonia. We have sweet communion in the blessing, the presence of Jesus as we follow his pattern. And that also then leaves us, I think there's one more, his promise. So, double your money. Sixth point, we know his promise. If by any means, Paul says, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, I declare that this is a promise because the Apostle Paul has declared that over and over again. If we just read these words by themselves, we may say, if by any means. Some translations say, if somehow I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, as if there would be any doubt. There is no doubt. The Apostle Paul is not expressing doubt here. He knows Christ and the power of his resurrection. He knows that today, and that enables him. The power of his resurrection enables him to suffer, enables him to live the Christian life, enables him to be conformed to Christ in his death, enables him to live a self-sacrificing life, a cross-shaped life. But the resurrection that he enjoys today is a promise of the fact that he enjoys the fullness of resurrection with Christ in the day of days. He would speak of that, or just remind us of what he's already said. Remember what he said in Philippians 1 verse 6? We're told there, he's confident of this very thing. He, that's God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt. There is no doubt for those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that the work will be completed. The Apostle Paul spoke of the blessing for himself in 1 verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He knew one day he was going to die. And that would be a blessing for him. He knows that. He's persuaded of that. And just to confirm that as well, in terms of what he is confident he will attain, 3 verse 21, this promise. It's the Lord Jesus who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. That's a promise. So why does Paul say then, if somehow I may attain to the resurrection of the dead? It's a sure promise, and one that we'll be reminded of and assured of again as we partake of the table of the Lord, or at the table of the Lord, until he comes. We know he's coming again, and we know by the grace of God we'll be raised with him. If by any means, if somehow. What does he mean by that? Well, certainly he's saying here, it's not because of me. It's not because of the things I would have boasted about and all my accomplishments. It's not because of any of that. The reality is certain, but it's only by God's grace. But he's also suggesting that the way in which that will come about, the path upon which he will need to travel in the days between the time of his writing and the time of his death remains somewhat of a mystery to him. And we have the same reality, don't we? We know one day we will attain to the resurrection from the dead. Our bodies will be made like unto Christ's glorious body. We'll be raised with him. But we don't know what we're called, will be called to go through between now and then. But we do know, as we've seen here, we may do so knowing Christ. We may do so knowing the power of his resurrection. We may do so knowing he is conforming us to his death. He's teaching us. He's making us like Jesus. He's enabling us to walk like Jesus and to live for Jesus. He's enabling us to give ourselves in the service of Jesus. And we need not be afraid, because he will be with us, as promised, every step of the way in the fellowship of his sufferings. Whatever suffering we may be called to endure, we'll be in fellowship, in sweet communion with him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise you for the privilege that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have loved us with an everlasting love, so we may now say we love you, Jesus. We love you because you have first loved us. We pray that you will continue to encourage us and build us up, that we may live in the confidence that ours, by your grace, is the power of the resurrection. We have strength by your grace to live the Christian life. We have strength by your grace and the power of the resurrection to fight against sin and ungodliness. We have strength by your grace to stand up in the midst of this present difficulty. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are at work in all of this, making us more like Jesus, according to pattern. Grant that we would not shirk from the blessing and privilege of taking up our cross. And grant that we would delight in knowing that we share with Christ. Christ is present with us in the midst of any challenges you bring our way. And thank you for the hope of the resurrection. Thank you that we may live in that glorious hope, that we may know, as we know Christ, the hope of our calling. And we pray that you would bless every one of us who are gathered here, everyone who listens, with that confidence to be able to say, I know Christ, and I want to know him better. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.